Have you read a good book lately? Tremendous Life Books is the premier publisher of motivational and inspirational books, and we're located right here in Mechanicsburg. Looking to improve your ability to interact with others at home, in business, your ministry, or community? The staff at Tremendous Life Books invite you to find something that motivates you to be a lifelong reader and leader. Visit us today at our showroom on West Allen Street in Mechanicsburg or online at www.tremendouslifebooks.com.
Welcome to Conversations with Leaders on Tremendous Life Radio, providing some of today's most influential and inspiring leaders a platform to share their stories of growing up, what happened, and what they're doing today. Now, here's your host, Todd Weaver.
Welcome, everybody, to Tremendous Life Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tonight's guest is Coach William Moore. Coach Moore is an educator, speaker, coach, and an author. His latest book, On Character and Mental Toughness, is available now. He's also the creator of The Character Way, and you can find out all about him at coachbillmoore.wordpress.com. Coach Moore, welcome to Tremendous Life Radio.
Thank you, Todd. I am fired up to talk to you tonight.
And I'm fired up to listen, man. Let's get thanks. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. Let's get started.
No, absolutely.
Go ahead. Hit it.
No, I'll just say the caliber of the guests that you have on this show is just amazing. And, you know, I've been listening here the last couple months, and I've learned a great deal. So I'm really honored to be joining you tonight.
Well, it's really our pleasure. Thank you so much. But it really is our pleasure, Coach. And you're a high caliber kind of guy, too. And we're going to learn all about you right now. So let's get started right away. I always, you know, if you listen to the show before, you know, we kind of like to get the backstory on our guests, kind of what you see today, looking back, how you were shaped and experiences, things that happened. Tell us about your early life growing up and what was going on with you early.
Well, I started off in, I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So a Western Pennsylvania guy. My family's from there. My one grandfather worked in the steel mills. And my other one was an immigrant from Ireland. And he drove trucks for the Pittsburgh Press. My parents ended up moving out to New Jersey. My father worked for a telecommunications company. And I grew up in Western New Jersey, in a small town, Clinton, New Jersey, which if you've ever been there, it's a beautiful, beautiful place to visit. I know a lot of people don't think that when they think of New Jersey, but it absolutely is. And it was just an idealized growing up. You know, we had a main street down there. We walked to school and biked to school and, you know, tubed down the river growing up. And it was just a great experience for me. And, you know, I ended up graduating from high school there, and I had one scholarship offer coming out of high school. And my father drove me up to the University of New Hampshire, and ended up playing ball up there, and a little bit of a rocky start, but I grew up a little bit there, learned some great lessons. And then from there I left. I ended up at a reform school outside of Philadelphia as a teacher counselor, and that was an interesting experience. We were working with, gang members from all over the country would end up in that facility, and I learned more there. And then I went from there to the middle of Maine to a prep school, you know, a little south of Bangor, Maine. I learned what, you know, 7 feet of snow looks like. But that was a great opportunity for me because actually I was a study hall monitor for seven periods of study hall a day. And I read every book that I probably should have read in college and high school. And it was a great educational experience for me. And I really wanted out of there. It was a tough situation. You know, being a young single guy in a small town up there in Maine. And I wrote a letter to every football program in the country. And Princeton University was kind enough to hire me. And I went down there and coached football for a year. And then what I really wanted to do is I wanted to teach. And I had an opportunity to come up to Western Massachusetts to Springfield College and got a graduate fellowship there. And I got to coach football and got my master's degree and got my teaching credentials together. And I've been teaching and coaching pretty much ever since in the Western Massachusetts area. I've bounced back and forth between a couple colleges here and a couple high schools, and it's been a really enjoyable experience.
Okay. Hey, that's the accelerated version. You took us through the whole story, I guess. I guess we're done, Coach. Thanks for everything. We went pretty quick. I didn't want to interrupt you, so I want to take you back, and we're going to kind of dissect some of that. You triggered a whole bunch of questions for me, so thank you.
Sure.
We were like an only child. Did you have siblings? How was that early on in the rivalry? Any of that going on?
I was an only child, and it was an interesting experience for me. And I think what I learned from that is I learned the value of being on a team, because, when you're an only child, you always want to interact with other kids. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I was on sports teams. I played basketball and ended up playing football, and I played some soccer too. And just being on a team was a great, great experience for me. And I learned a lot about, interaction and what it takes to be successful, and had some good role models growing up in the neighborhood that played sports that were a few years older than me. And I basically just wanted to be like them. So if they were out in their driveway playing basketball, I was out in my driveway playing basketball. And, if they were going to camp, I wanted to go to camp. And I was fortunate. I had some great coaches growing up as well. My high school coaches were very influential for me. I learned a lot of life lessons from them. I learned how to carry myself. I should have listened up a little more. I had some bumps in the road. I'm sure we'll get to that. But these guys were just fantastic. That's where my desire to teach and coach really came from, is seeing the power and influence of these guys. And I just couldn't think of a better profession to get into.
Just fantastic. It's wild listening to you, Coach. As an only child, it sounds to me like you had some vision or drive early on, especially with the sports and the discipline. It sounds like you were drawn towards that. Maybe it's always funny, isn't it, that you don't really, for me and the guests, we don't often know at the time what's really going on. But maybe being on a show like this, or writing your book, or being able to speak publicly, you get to tell your story and you see the value of those, like you said, the powers of example early on, the coaches, the leadership, and kind of the attraction piece. Sounds like you were attracted to those people. You always were interested in sports, is that correct?
Yeah, I was. I didn't think I had much of a choice. Being born in Pittsburgh, I think you're born a Steelers fan for life. my parents were always watching the football games on Sundays, and we never missed too many of those. And then, I really got into basketball too. And, I think probably around eighth grade, right about the time I was going to high school, and I really wanted to make the high school team. That was a big goal of mine, to make the high school basketball team. And it's funny, in New Jersey, they had a weight limit for football, and I was always overweight and couldn't play on the team. Yeah. So, by the end of the season, the weight limit would go up, so I would only be able to play in a couple of games. So I ended up never playing youth sports as far as football goes, and didn't play until I was in high school. And it ends up that I guess I was a little better football player than basketball player, and it panned out for me and paid for school. So I think all those hours just playing basketball, and all those coaches who told me, to practice, although it didn't pan out for me in basketball, it certainly panned out for me in football. And, I learned a lot. We would go to camps, and I heard from great people like Pete Carroll, was a longtime coach at Prince University, and Raleigh Massimino at Villanova would come to the camps and talk, and I always tried to pay attention. It's funny, when a winner talks, they'll tell you how to win. You just really need to listen to them. And it was just a great experience.
I didn't know we were going to go this way, but, touch on this for a minute, if you would, please. That inner, sounds to me like your story could have went two different ways real early on. Is if you're overweight, you could have just quit right then, or poor me, or been a victim. It sounds to me like you had a lot of perseverance. Could you kind of even describe some of those feelings that were going on when you first found out there was a weight limit or whatever?
I don't know if I was happy or disappointed, because, playing football is definitely a challenge. And, I think anybody who plays the game has a little bit of fear coming in, but I was a little hesitant, and it was unfortunate. I think maybe I would have been better off signing up for those games, but Todd, there's a lot of burnout in youth sports, and a lot of those kids who ended up playing, youth sports got burnt out by the time they got to high school. They had enough. And, I was kind of fortunate. It ended up working out pretty good for me that I didn't play. And when I got there, I was in pretty decent shape from all those years of doing other things, and learned how to compete, in a team atmosphere. So I think it ended up paying off for me in the long run.
Well, thanks for that, Coach. What was it like in the home as far as was kind of going to college like just on automatic, or was there a lot of nurturing that way, or did they tell you you can be whatever you want to be, or did they tell you you got to go be a carpenter, or, you know, take us through some of those things?
No, I wanted to be a carpenter.
Yeah, my, that's right.
I don't think any of my grandparents had graduated from high school, and mm-hmm. you know, my parents were the first. You know, both of my parents are the oldest in their family, and they were the first high school graduates. You know, my mother worked hard, had a lot of part-time and then later full-time jobs, and my dad was always hustling in the corporate arena. And my father had been in the Marine Corps, served in Vietnam, and ended up joining the reserve. So he was involved in the military. So, you know, he was gone quite a bit. He was also chipping away. I think it took him 17 years of night school before he finally got his college degree. He graduated college only a few years before I did. You know, so they were hardworking. I think they set a pretty good example. And, you know, with my father especially, there was some discipline. You know, things were expected to be done a certain way. And, you know, you had to adhere to that. But, you know, I was very fortunate. You know, it's not like I grew up in a bad home at all. You know, I had a good example. You know, it's funny, Todd, when we're younger, I think people tend to plant seeds, and they don't always bloom in the approximate. They don't bloom in the moment. And later on, I think, as you alluded to earlier, you know, we kind of realized later on how important those seeds that were planted really ended up being for us. And I think that really, that was the case for me.
It's wild. Like, you know, my self-value is low. I'm real small, short statured, you know, so I grew up in a home. My father officiated baseball, basketball, and football. He was with youth athletics, high school, semi-pro, college, you know, all the time, leadership, teamwork all the time. And that was always in my home, and I was raised around those kind of things, but I wasn't really good enough. And I think that really affected me. No one's fault. It's just the way I saw the world. So for you, you probably were pretty good. Is that right? Were you pretty good in basketball? Did you have some skills?
No. You know, anything I had, I earned. You know, I was a big kid. That was the one thing I had going for me, but I was slow. You know, I didn't have the greatest feet, but I, you know, I'm in my garage, you know, all winter jumping rope, and whatever these guys told us to do, I went and did. And, you know, I was smart enough to do that. And I had some rivals in the neighborhood, and, you know, I wanted to be better than them. I don't know if I ever really passed them, but, I don't think it was until, you know, maybe my senior year in high school that, you know, it dawned on me, I might be all right at this football thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it did pay off, but it was years of hard work. There's no doubt about it. And, but I think, you know, it was something I really wanted to do, and it became part of my identity.
Yeah. Well, and I keep harping on this, but that it blows my mind, Bill, because, like, for me, I didn't have a focus or a discipline like that. I didn't really have a drive or a desire. Even the word discipline kind of made me shudder a little bit. So I don't know what that's all about exactly at the time. But for you, it sounds to me, you said you were working out in your garage. You knew, and you listened to the winners. You said that early on. You remember. You know that. And that didn't happen to me. So it's wild how. I mean, can you put your finger on maybe why that is for you, why it was like that for you?
I don't know. I you know, I, it's funny. Yeah. My mother is very Catholic, and we would go to Mass every Sunday. And I think probably the most important thing I learned was just to sit there and be quiet for an hour. And I really did. I learned how to do that. I learned how to listen, and I learned how to sit still. And I think that helped me in school academically. But I also think it helped me athletically. You know, in coaching all these years, and I've been at it for, 25 years or so now. You know, it's amazing how kids just struggle to listen, and the kids who do listen and take it to heart and then apply what they do learn, really come close to fulfilling their potential. And you know, there's some great people who will point you in the right direction if you're just humble enough to listen to them.
That's huge. Thank you. I mean, that's some powerful information. It's always. If I could have been more proactive, I guess, would have known that listening was important. I mean, my father's telling me that my whole life. So, Todd, you
right.
can't learn anything when you're talking, and I'm still talking. So, you know, I mean, it's wild. Now, but, I mean, you being so disciplined and focused, and what you do, Coach, is, I mean, there's – I don't even know if the word's responsibility, but it's a huge you have a huge impact on, like, hundreds or maybe at this point thousands of young men shape their lives with the powers of example, you know. So, and you had a drive and a desire to do that early on. I heard that so far in your story. So what let's talk about character and the character way and how all this came about. Like, when did you decide that you want to put this on paper and really help shape people through a book?
Well, that's a great question. I you know, like I said, Paul Hornig, I think, said it at one point, you know, that he had gone through life on scholarship. And, you know, he was a famous Green Bay Packers running back, and he ran into some problems later on in life. But I felt the same way. You know, here I am. I get the one scholarship offer. You know, I end up coaching at Princeton University, which is an Ivy League school, you know, in my home state. And then, you know, I get a chance to go up to Springfield College and coach there, and they're paying for me to coach and go to school. And really everything kind of panned out. You know, I ended up getting married shortly afterwards, and ended up having a couple of kids. And slowly but surely, you know, things started to deteriorate for me. And I write about it in the book, but, you know, within 3 years, I had 30 court appearances related to my divorce. I was diagnosed with cancer. things were going wrong left and right for me. You know, I ended up taking over a high school program up here that had gone winless for 2 years. And I walked in the door and got some things going, and we started to have some success. And then we hit a bump in the road, and probably about 2 or 3 years in. And when we hit that bump, really my personal life was deteriorating as well. And, you know, I went through that divorce, and that was a difficult time. And, you know, my kids ended up moving back to New Jersey. I would go down one weekend a month and go see them and spend some time with them. I realized I'd made a mistake in who I chose to marry. You know, I didn't base it on things I should have based it on. And, you know, and in my own life, I was really struggling. And what happened to me is I woke up one day at a rest area, and I had about $500 in my pocket, no credit, no car, no place to live. And, you know, I was that low. And I ended up picking up a newspaper, and I found a place to live for $100 a week, and I ended up finding a car for $400, and that was all the money I had. You know, I ended up walking to downtown Springfield up here, walked into the cathedral there, and some lady was playing beautiful hymnals, and I just sat back in the back of the cathedral and put my face in my hands and just completely broke down and wept. And I literally walked across the street, walked down to the YMCA there, asked the lady there if she knew anything about recovery meetings, because I had been drinking too much. And, you know, I saw that kind of as a source of some of my problems, not all of them, but many of them. And this guy literally walked around the corner just as I was saying that and said, "Hey, come over here." And he gave me his card. We went to a meeting that night. And, you know, I sat there for 6 months, and like you said, I didn't say a word. I just listened to people talk for 6 months. And I was in that room that I rented every day, and I really just really faced my problems. And really what I found in listening to people and all the reading that I did is that my character wasn't as good as I thought it was, and that I had some real significant character weaknesses. And, you know, I've been able to hustle pretty good, and, you know, I could put my best foot forward, but behind the scenes, I don't know if I was doing the right things. And after that 6 month journey, I really came out a different person. And at the same time, you know, I'm trying to get this, this program together. I coach football and lacrosse at the same time, and both programs had struggled. And what I realized is a lot of the lessons that I was learning were things that we were struggling with at school as well, in the sports programs. And I started to equate the two. And really, that's how I came up with this Character Way program. And we started to apply it. I got better. My life got better. My teams got better. We ended up making it to a couple state finals. We had some success that we hadn't had in that school in about 20 years. And in lacrosse program, we won the first championship we had ever won in 35 years of lacrosse at the school. And, you know, we had great kids who bought into what I was trying to teach them and really applied it. And we had a lot of success as a result. And I'm a firm believer, you know, in this little process that I've developed called the Character Way. And really, it's based on 11 character traits. I think there's a progression to it. You know, I'll walk you through that a little bit in a minute. But you know, really what it does is it guides every decision you make. because I really feel in any decision you're going to make, there's a character way and there's an easy way. And that easy way is going to pay off for you in the moment, but in the long run, it's not going to lead you to success. And the character way is going to be difficult, but it's going to lead you to great places and then help you stay there. I think that's the most important thing. So I started talking about it, and you know, it's funny, I couldn't meet with the kids at the high school. We only had one meeting a year we were allowed to have off season. But I started sending them notes and quotes in their homeroom and writing them little pieces and then sharing with my friends on Facebook some of the things that I wrote. And I really got a lot of great feedback. The teacher started reading the notes at school and said, you know, Coach Moore, this is great. Do you mind if I share this with some of my students? Sure. You know, or they shared it with their kids at home. And my friends were great and really encouraged me. And that led to me writing a blog and sharing it with a broader audience. And the blog really led to the book. And the book has now led to speaking engagements. I'm working with a few college teams. You know, I speak with them from 90 minutes up to, you know, 6 hours over the course of 6 weeks, where we break down these traits and we talk about how they apply to everything they're doing. And it's just been a phenomenal, phenomenal experience. And I think the most important thing is it keeps my head in the right place, doing the right things. And, you know, and now I'm getting a chance to talk to you. So, you know, things are working out pretty good here.
Oh, man, and I'm smiling. I'm loving it, man. And I'm getting a chance to listen to you, too. It's cool. Did you, you know, listen, thank you so much so far. Is it like when you were starting to see, when you were in that 6 month journey you spoke of, and I imagine you were writing some things down. Did you ever have any idea what was really happening? I mean, to you and to how you could, you know, be in a position to bring a lot of value to a lot of people. And not that it's over yet, but I mean, did you even have any idea what was really happening?
I think what really happened is, you know, I just started to piece everything together. I'm a big fan of common denominators. You know, it's funny when I talk about this character piece, it means different things to different people. In education, they call it social emotional learning or grit or growth mindset. In the business community, they refer to non-cognitive or soft skills. In philosophy and history, we talk about character. And I think in athletics, we talk about this mental toughness piece. And really, we're all talking about the same thing, and we're just doing it differently. And hopefully what I've been able to do is try to break down some of those barriers and make people aware that, you know, we're all coming to the same conclusion here. That, you know, if you're doing the right things and you have character and that becomes who you are, you're going to have more success than if you don't. I think it dawned on me that I could reach across further bridges. You know, I tried to get to my team, and now here I am. You know, I get emails from people across literally the world. You know, I have a friend in the Philippines I correspond with, another one in Canada. You know, have read some of the things that I wrote and have liked it and applied it. And I've learned probably more. The best part about it is I've learned so much from, you know, talking to people like them and listening to people like you. You know, that's really the great benefit for me, the selfish benefit for me. Is that I've really been able to grow, I think, and learn a great deal. And then I try to pass those lessons on as best I can.
Let's take us through some of those, Bill. Take us through some of the 11 key character traits, would you please?
Absolutely. I think it starts with humility. And, you know, in that 6 months, I really became humble. I didn't have any answers. I really didn't. And I got humble. And I found in working with kids that, as kids came into the high school, if they were not humble, I really couldn't teach them much of anything. And then when I deal with adults, it's the same thing. You know, if you're not humble, you don't see any room for improvement. So why would you listen to anyone? So I think the key piece is humility. And the second step in the character way is caring, is to find something that you care about. And for me, what I cared about was my family. I wanted to be a rock for my kids. I wanted to be a good husband for my wife. Then when I went to school, you know, I wanted to be a good coach to these kids and impart them not only with the athletic skills, but the life lesson piece as well. And I care very deeply about that. And that motivates me to do the right things, to learn, to grow constantly. So I think, you know, we talk about people having a bad attitude. I don't think people have a bad attitude. I think they just don't know what they care about. And I'll be sitting there at a parent-teacher conference, and a parent will ask me, you know, they'll be distraught over their kid. You know, he's not getting good grades, and I'll ask, you know, what does he want to do when he graduates from high school? And of course, I get the answer, he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, once you know what you want to do and what you want to accomplish and you start caring about it, you start to step on the right path in order to become the person you need to be to achieve that goal. So I think the caring piece is the next piece. And you really need those two to get you going. And then I go on and I talk about effort, consistently applying effort, that there's a character way to go about things, and then an easy way to go about things. I was in the gym this morning, you know, I walk in and nobody had racked the weights in the gym. You know, somebody had lifted previously and left all the weights on the bars. That's not the character way. That's the easy way. You know, so every little thing we do, I think you put that approach to it. But just putting the effort in and talking about how you put an effort in and a consistent effort. And then teamwork. You know, people write books only on teamwork, but I try to give some tips on that as well. And I think the best teams really ultimately offer each other their best character. It's funny, one of the things I talk about in the seminars, I talk about the New York Yankees in 2001 after 9/11. And I talk about the Boston Red Sox after the marathon bombing and how those teams came together and were successful. And it's unfortunate that sometimes it takes a tragedy for teammates to offer each other their best character and bring that to the table every single day. But it's also phenomenal to me how successful you can be when you do that. Sure. And then the next piece I get into are the mental toughness traits. And for me, mental toughness, a lot of people have different definitions. For me, it's maintaining your character under pressure and through adversity. So we talk about having courage, you know, the courage to get out of your comfort zone, to take on new tasks. So working your way through your comfort zone and, you know, having the courage to go after what you want. And then from there, we talk about discipline. And it's funny, you talked about discipline and how you didn't get it when you were young. And I equate discipline to driving. That, you know, when you're driving, you're in charge of where you're going to steer that car, and you're in charge of the brakes and the gas. And really, to me, that's all discipline is. You know, can you step out your foot on the gas when you need to get going? Can you hit the brakes when you're about to do something that you shouldn't be doing? You know, can you steer yourself in the right direction? You know, and then I talk to the teams I'm talking about. We talk about a student driver. When I was a kid, and probably when you were a kid, they had two steering wheels, you know, when you did your student driving. And, so, you know, if you can't discipline yourself, somebody else is going to hop in there and discipline you. Mm-hmm. So we talk about discipline, and then from there we talk about perseverance, you know, overcoming adversity, you know, keep going when things get difficult. And then from there we talk about initiative. And it's funny, as I can see a kid progress, because I do believe these traits happen in progression. As I see a young person progress and they're starting to get it, they start taking initiative. They see something that needs to be done, and without asking, they'll go and get that done. And, you know, whether it's setting up a drill or picking something up or, you know, talking to somebody who needs a little bit of assistance, they're not just sitting there trying to take the easy way through everything. They're going to take some initiative and help us achieve our goals. And then from there, we talk about commitment. And I think that's one aspect I do pretty good, is talk about commitment. And I think there's different levels of commitment. You know, these days people want to commit on their own terms. And, you know, they're in as long as everything is sunny and 70 degrees. But the minute, you know, things get difficult for them, you know, they bail on you and they bail on the team. And that's a tough lesson to learn, is having a commitment. Mm-hmm. So I go through these five different steps of commitment until ultimately somebody's all in. And then from there we talk about leadership and a variety of leadership skills. I give some emphasis to what I call the answer man, that someone on the team, other than a coach, has to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. And has to risk their popularity in order to be successful, in order for the team to be successful. And I've had a number of people fill that role on teams over the years. And that's something that kids aren't aware of. And then the last step is awareness. Just being aware of the situations you're in, being aware of your surroundings. I think ultimately when you come out of this, and I've talked to a bunch of people who have read the book, some of my friends and some of my new friends, and what they see is they see this everywhere. It's like the movie The Matrix. When Neo begins to dodge bullets and see ones and zeros, you know, they see this in the shopping mall. They see this in their office. They see this in their family. And, you know, you really begin to see the world differently and how people take the character way and how people take the easy way. And ultimately, I think the key piece as a coach is you could write a prescription. You know, I can see when a kid's lacking initiative. I can see when a kid needs a lesson on discipline. I can see when, you know, one of my friends needs a little bit of a discussion about humility. And I see these things in my own personal life as well. So they're really applicable to different settings, whether it's business, athletics. Of course, I see it in the classroom every day. I'm also a social studies teacher. I really do think they apply everywhere. Mm-hmm. And once you start seeing the world like this, it really opens your eyes. I just think it's an amazing thing. And I thought I was alone in that. And when I hear from people who have read the book and have been following along and they get it, we talk about it being character and mental toughness. When they get it and it clicks, they have this amazing awareness. And it really helps them guide themselves and other people to success.
Hmm. You know, you talked about that. What do you think it is? And I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of stories and told my own quite a few times. And, you know, whenever I'm listening to a story, I always reflect, you know, on how I relate to it and how it, you know, it sounds with my, you know, lines up with what I've learned so far about myself. But even in listening to your story, getting to the humility piece, you know, some people have to get smashed into it while others kind of just are open to learning all the time. There's really no rhyme or reason in all that. What's your take on that?
I think some people are, you know, they have humility from the start. I probably had courage from the start. You know, I think some of us naturally are a little bit stronger in one trait or the other, or we learn them at an earlier age and they just make sense to us. But I think, you know, we all have our little holes as far as our character traits go, and we need to work on them a little bit. You know, for me, I think humility was a big piece. You know, I had some success. Not to say I had a big head, because I didn't, but I really had to see areas that I needed to work on. You know, it's funny, in the book I talk about when change comes. And, you know, change comes at that point where your skin is crawling, you know, and you have the cold sweats and you can't decide to, you know, take a left or to take a right. You know, that moment, that's when you're going to change. Mm. You know, that's really when you start growing. And I see it with kids, you know, I see it in different aspects of different organizations. When somebody's new to an organization and they have to adapt to a new way of doing things, what are they going to do? You know, are they going to bail? Or are they going to stick with it? And, you know, I see that in people's personal lives as well. You know, that moment when change comes.
And it's huge. I mean, I'm listening to you. For me, you know, to buy in, you mentioned the buy-in piece. And it wasn't that difficult for me, even though I hung on for 30 years trying it, my plan. But, you know, once I smashed into a wall, buying into it wasn't that hard. Like, for some reason, I guess, knew that my plan stank, you know what I mean? And I guess I was open enough to be able to listen, finally, to some other guys that looked like they might know more about living successfully than I did, you know? And that, I guess, kind of happened to you. And that guy walked up to you. Hey, tell me, do you know that? Did you talk to that guy that walked up to you and said, come over here and sit down? Do you see him?
I saw him every once. I saw through the course of the 6 months, I would run into him from time to time. And then, you know, I didn't see him. Our paths didn't cross, but right. I sent him a nice note, and, you know, it's amazing. Yeah. You know, sometimes in life, you know, people put the right person in your life at the right time.
Yeah,
you know,
wild,
I always talk about not everybody's always ready for the lesson. And, when you talk about it, but usually when you're ready for it, somebody's going to show up, or, you know, you're going to see something or read something. And, if you're ready for that message, that message will be there. You got to hunt around for a little bit. And you know, if I didn't walk into that YMCA that day, that guy never would have been around the corner talking to me. So you got to take a little initiative as well.
Yeah, and it's wild. I love it. I love listening to those stories. You know, some people call it happenstance. I don't know, the universe, whatever it is. It's cool. And you talked about that too, working through some of these, the real character way, the awareness piece starts to come out. Like, you start to really see how, for me anyway, how, you know, there's real value in this. There's something in this for me. It's not like a sacrifice anymore. It's more like a gift, a reward almost, for paying attention and showing up. And is that what you found in your own personal life and also trying to guide other people through this?
Absolutely. You know, things have never been better. And I've been fortunate. You know, people, it's funny, when you're a teacher and you're a coach, you know, not everything that you do right is in the paper. And you hear from people. I get emails, you know, at least a couple times a month from kids I've coached or taught. Mm-hmm. you know, friends or colleagues who've read what I've written or, you know, heard me talk, and that's a very rewarding thing when they come back and they let you know that you've been able to make a difference in their life, and the message hit at the right time, and it's really resounding. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a great, great thing to be able to pay it forward. When I hit my bottom there, I really made my life about other people. And the minute I did that, my life started getting a lot better. And, you know, my life is about my family. You know, it's about the kids I teach and coach and the people I've been able to reach and doing what I'm doing here.
Hey, Bill, when you were climbing your way kind of to your bottom, did you even maybe even inventory this where, you know, on the inside, could you even describe maybe where your self-value was or your self-worth, or, you know, were you pretty in the dumper with that as well? Were you kind of feeling useless, or did you always know you had a lot of value? You just had to work through some of those other things. How was it?
I think what I had to do is I had to see what my role was in it. You know, I think there were some things that were out of my hands that I couldn't control. And, you know, I had some really frustrating experiences, but, you know, some of that was my fault. And I just went back to that crossroads where, you know, I could have taken the character away, and instead I took the easy way. Or if my character was a little stronger, I would have made a better decision. And that's really what dawned on me, was my role. What could I control? It's amazing how much we can control if we put our mind to it. If we increase our consciousness of the decisions we're making. And I think that's a big piece here, is we're really, you know, if you get it right and with the kids and with the teams, if you really increase your consciousness of, you know, I'm making a character decision here, I'm staying along the path of my goal, or you start slipping down the easy way and you catch yourself before you descend, you know, down to that valley, and you got to claw your way back up again. So, yeah, you know, it's been nothing but helpful for me. And, you know, I recognize my role and my mistakes. I made a ton of them. And, you know, I didn't want to hurt anybody again. That was a big thing for me. You know, I just didn't want anybody to be worse off for having crossed my path. And, you know, I try to live up to that every single day.
And what you touched on there also, maybe you can share with us, what have you learned about excuses along the way?
It's funny. One of the things I wrote about in one of my more popular blog pieces, I call 10 Thoughts on Excuses. And, you know, it's amazing. There's always an excuse available to you. And if you can't find one, someone will give one to you, you know, to go the wrong path and do the wrong thing. But I use the word justification a lot. And to me, justification is nothing but an excuse dressed up in plausibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I catch justification constantly. You just need to turn on the news or read a paper. And I'm sure in your interactions through the course of your day, you're going to hear justifications. And I try very hard not to justify myself. And I think that's a key piece. You know, if I have to come up with a justification for what I'm doing, I'm probably not doing the right thing. You know, so excuses play a big role in it. And, you know, I probably could have been a lawyer and probably been a halfway decent one, because I can come up with a justification for just about anything. Unfortunately, that's a talent that hasn't served me particularly well. So I have to stay on top of that myself. But I'm very aware of when people are offering justifications or taking justifications. And then hopefully, you know, I make people conscious of this so they can avoid it.
Hey, that somebody talked about that one time about whatever it was, they were showing up late for work or whatever, and the boss finally said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, there's an oil embargo." And the boss was kind of confused, you know, and like said, "Well, what does that have to do with it?" He said, "Well, it don't really matter. I just was going to make an excuse. You can choose anyone, right? I mean, any excuse." But you said you could have been a good salesman too. You can almost sell them that plausibility, right?
It's unfortunately, it's one of my gifts. And, you know, are you going to use that for the forces of good or the forces of evil? And unfortunately, yeah. You know, and you know, who gets hurt when they offer an excuse? The person offering the excuse is ultimately the person who suffered. Yeah. You know, that's ultimately the person who suffers. You're missing an opportunity to you know, be dependable, to be counted on. And your excuses are eroding that. You're the one who suffers. So it's a bad habit to get into. And I'm very, very aware of that.
Hey, you touched on it quite a bit. But, I mean, you it sounds to me like when you put this character way together and you started actually, you know, piecing this all together so that you could share it and teach others. And I've heard this lots of times, and I thought it was kind of goofy, but I'm not so sure. You know, sometimes the best way to learn things is to teach it, right? So you've been talking about now going to colleges and other teams and sharing this and building this up. I imagine you've learned a lot about yourself along the way, correct?
Absolutely. And I'm getting better. And I think that's one of the things I want to do every day, is I just want to get a little bit better. But through all the research that I've done and that I continue to do, I usually do a PowerPoint presentation. You know, I give a half hour speech, but I also, you know, when we do these longer ones, I put the PowerPoint up, and I'm always changing slides and changing the phrasing. And I'm always researching to see what I can come across. You know, listening to your show is a great example. I've gotten some good things out of that. But, you know, I'm growing and I'm getting better, and I always want to be open to new perspectives. You know, I'm not saying what I have is the end all be all. I'm just saying it works for me and it's worked for some other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately I think we're all chasing the same thing if we want to be successful. And this missing ingredient that we tend to overlook because it's so simple. You know, it's funny, I was sitting down with a couple of Navy SEALs in November, and they had given a talk, and I was fortunate enough to hang out with them afterwards. And they were talking about going through BUDS, the SEAL training, and how difficult it was, and trying to teach the guys who were candidates for becoming a member of the SEALs some of the lessons and some of the important keys to getting through. And the one SEAL said, you know, it's so simple, but it's the hardest thing in the world to do. Mm-hmm. And really, that's what this is. I haven't invented anything. You know, I'm telling people pretty simple things, but they are the hardest thing in the world to do, to follow those character traits and to take the character away in everything you do. It's a really difficult task.
Well, thanks for saying, you know, I admire that you say that. You know, sometimes I think even with personal development people, and sometimes it's like an easy fix, the law of attraction. Like if you just visualize this and lay on the couch long enough, you'll have it. You know, you're not kind of fluffing it all up. You're going to have to work hard. It's the hardest thing you're going to do. That's what you just said. So what about, I want to make sure I mention that anybody that's listening or is going to listen can find out all about the Character Way and you, Coach William Moore, at coachbillmoore.wordpress.com. The book's available in all the outlets, correct?
Yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's on iTunes. It's out there.
Where would you rather have it? Get it?
I just want the message out. That's the most important thing.
What do you
and
got?
And then
go ahead.
A lot of followers on Twitter too, at Coach Bill Moore. You know, that seems to be a growing piece as far as reaching people. So you can always check on that as well on Twitter.com at Coach Bill Moore.
You know, and I love it. I love listening to you, like all the guests. You know, we find something that works for us, whether it changed our trajectory, whether we, you know, hit a brick wall and went a different way, or if we just gradually went towards a different direction, and then writing it down and kind of sharing it, getting it out there to as many people as possible. That's really what our goal is here, is to just, you know, provide a platform for people like you to get their message to as many people. And it's funny, you know, I started this show actually, you know, 3.5 years ago now, but I've learned an awful lot more than I ever signed up for, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild, right?
It's funny. One of my friends, my roommate in college, wrote the introduction to my book, and he you know, quotes a Thoreau piece, but he talks about way leads on the way. And it's amazing how if you take a step, you know, another step that you never imagined becomes readily apparent to you. And, you know, I found the same exact thing that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I take a step and it leads on to something else. And it's been a great, great experience.
Yeah, well, it's been a great experience listening to you. Do you have anything coming up? Where are you going to be? Anything you want to share with us? Do you have any top secret information you want to break open here? What do you got?
No, I'm just plugging along, and you know, I'm trying to get word out about these seminars, and I love speaking to groups, and I love hearing from leaders afterwards that it's made a difference. You know, for the most part, I've been focusing on college teams, but you know, any organization or group I've been willing to talk to, you know, I'm just sitting here waiting to go. You know, I've sent out a bunch of contacts, and we'll see where it goes. But we're wrapping up. I've done mostly lacrosse and football teams, and some hockey teams here of late. But you know, I'm looking to find some teams to talk to this summer, and I just love talking about getting better. I really do. You know, it's funny, we get so caught up in the technical and tactical of what we're doing. You know, whether you're in a particular industry or whether you're coaching a particular sport, You know, we're all worried about the X's and O's and the strategy, and we forget about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your plans, however brilliant they are only going to be as successful as the character of the people who have to execute them.
Mm-hmm.
And once that point gets across and people begin to understand that a little bit, you know, my phone rings or I get an email. So, you know, I'm willing to talk. I don't have any, I'm just plugging away every day, trying to make a difference. You know, nothing major coming up.
Hey, well, you're making a difference tonight, Coach. You certainly make a difference in my life, and I'm sure many others that listen to this show. Again, it's coachbillmoore.wordpress.com. On Character and Mental Toughness is the name of the book, and The Character Way is the program on the website. Bill, it's been a real joy, really an honor and a joy having you with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Todd, the honor's all mine. Keep doing great things.
You too, please. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Bye-bye. There you have it, Coach Bill Moore. What a guy. You can learn all about him at coachbillmoore.wordpress.com. That's The Character Way. coachbillmoore.wordpress.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Really been a pleasure having the coach with you tonight and having the opportunity to bring you all the guests we've been having and all the guests that are coming up. Get over to the website, tremendousliferadio.com. You can listen to all the back shows there. You can see all the guests that are coming up. You can contact us, follow us over on Facebook, on Twitter. Get over on iTunes. Just search Tremendous Life Radio. Again, it's been a real joy. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, make it a great day.